This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. We do everything smarter these days, right? Ordering food, planning a wedding, comparing prices. So does tech have an answer to death? Pulse innovation reporter Todd Bookman has checked into that. Hi, Todd.
Hey, Maiken.
So if I want to put my affairs in order so that my family doesn't have to deal with big questions and endless paperwork, in the past, I probably could collect some stuff in a folder. What can I do now?
Yeah, in the past, you were doing really well if you had it all in a Trapper Keeper. But now there's these online storage sites, places like everplans.com. And these sites allow you to upload everything, all the documents, the statements that your family will need and have to deal with. And then you can share it with them at the appropriate time. And that way, relatives in far-flung places can all have access to this information. And it's all secure, as much as these things can be secured. And there's a checklist to follow along with.
What if I'm planning a funeral for a loved one right now? What kind of help can I get with that?
Yeah, this is kind of the second arena we're seeing in the rise of so-called death tech. You need to call funeral homes, get prices, find a florist, pick a casket and urn. And up until recently, there was no central place. There was no sort of one-stop shop for all of this. But now there's imsorrytohear.com. And I spoke with the founder, Rachel Zeldin. She says the site is kind of like the Yelp for funerals.
The Yelp, the Kayak, the TripAdvisor, the Wedding Wire. Yes, any one of those kind of planning platforms that we might use in other parts of our life, but it's specific to the end of life niche.
All right, the end of life niche. What's in that niche? What do they do for me?
So Zeldin is a big advocate for more transparency in funeral prices. It's notoriously hard to get information online. It can be hard to get it on the phone even. And then when you go in person to a funeral home, at its worst, it feels like you're buying a used car. Zeldin says if you aren't armed with information, you can get hosed.
I mean, I think talking about money in general is really uncomfortable for people, but especially when you incorporate it into a sensitive topic like death. There's an added level of vulnerability that the consumer is subjected to because it's like kind of like being drunk or overly tired. You can't really think straight. And a lot of people do feel uncomfortable saying, I don't want that casket. I want something less expensive, which is a shame because I think that people should approach funeral planning the same way they would approach any other major purchase, which is understand what your budget is and stick within that and don't feel guilty about it. You know, if you can't afford a Mercedes, then don't buy a Mercedes.
Even if I'm not getting a bill for a German-engineered casket, sometimes bills do keep coming. There are services that are still turned on, credit cards. Eventually, you might even get calls from debt collectors. Any help with that?
Yeah, so this is the schlag that comes after the death. You know, canceling the credit card, subscriptions, utilities, financial accounts, notifying Social Security. It's just endless legwork, endless phone calls, and it can turn into a full-time job for family members. For folks who would rather just throw their hands up and pay somebody to do it for them, there's a company called Attendant. And for a few $100s, they take what's called selective power of attorney, and then they can make all these calls and fill out all the forms on your behalf. You tell them what needs doing, and they do it.
Do they deal with Comcast, too?
Yes, they handle Comcast.
Thanks, Todd Bookman.
Thank you.